Good evening, everyone. Why don't you take out your swords? That's your Bible if you don't know and you're new here. It's described as the sword of the Lord. And why don't you open up on page 200, if it's a Bible in front of you, in the New Testament. We're currently working through the book of 2 Timothy. And this week we get into chapter 3. This is Paul writing to Timothy, and I'm going to read from chapter 3, verses 1 to 9. And let's be listening aggressively and open up our hearts so that God would speak to us tonight. But understand this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with such people. These people are the kind who worm their way into homes and gain control over gullible women. They load it down with sins and are swayed by all kinds of evil desires, always learning, but never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. Just as we'll call him Yannis and Jambres opposed Moses, so also these teachers oppose the truth. They are men of depraved minds who, as far as the faith is concerned, are rejected. But they will not get very far, because as in the case of those men, their folly will be clear to everyone. This is God's word. So, I don't know if you guys have been to Monte Cassino. I really enjoy it. You know, they put on a good show there when you go to the Teatro. And I love going to watch live shows where, you know, live productions where they act out things. You know, Kirsten and I, we make it a big deal. We'll get dressed, a bit of Hugo Boss, you know, take a bit of extra cash. Kirsten will put on some shiny things and glittery things on her face and nice makeup, and I'll gel the hair extra perfect, and Kirsten and I will get in the car and we'll drive there, pay our 10 rand at the entrance, find some good parking. We'll get there like 2 hours early and just sit and wait, you know, for the show to start. We love it that much. And that was a joke, but we'll warm you up, don't you worry. And I just, this production happens and, you know, get a little Cadbury's box of whispers and in the mouth, and we're eating, and we saw The Lion King the other day, and we saw Beauty and the Beast, and just love it. You know, it goes down so well. And if you haven't been, it's really a great date night. You should treat your wives or girlfriends or whoever. Go to the show, put in something nice, and I'm sure you'll really love it. But now when I look at the production, I've done a bit of acting myself. Not hectic, not brilliant, but I've done a few things in my time, and I'll just tell you about my friend Steve and I. So we started this, call it a singing club. So I would sing, and Steve would manage, and that's what we did. We were a two-man band, starting a band, baby. We started a band, and you know, did a couple of songs. I can even give you one now. If you guys all give me a click, just give me a click. Let's all go. Okay, together. I'm just joking. I'll never do that. Who's the fool now? Yeah, I get to laugh at you. But anyway, we do our first show, and we're not Christians at this time, but we do our first show at Extreme Cause. And this lady interviews us, and she says, you know, will you do my 50th birthday? And I'm like, geez, this is a big deal, Steve. It's like, Ryan, you can pull this off, buddy. We can do this. So we go into her lounge, and she says, okay, sing for me. I want to hear if you can sing. So we put on this backtrack that we got developed, and I just bolted it out there. And she's like, okay, you've got it. Have you done this before? Yeah, plenty of times. You know, we schooled in this. We know exactly what to do, ma'am. And she says, right, I need 3 hours of music. That's what's going to, you're going to sing for 3 hours at my 50th. So Steve and I, we hook it up and we do it. Then we progressed in our career, and we got to sing at a nightclub called The Venue. And you know, that was it was an awesome experience. I'll tell you that. And then finally they flew us to Cape Town, and we did a show at the Bay Hotel. And so, you know, just up front, had it all together, loved it. But I want to tell you these three events again, and I want you to listen out. So the first show that we did, I'd never done a show before. We only had one song. We didn't have 3 hours of material. We didn't even know who could do the backtracks. I sang in her lounge the only song I knew, and we were up in 2 weeks. And Steve was like, "You better pull it off, bud." So we got there, we kind of scrambled, and it was just an absolute dog show, and we got through it. That was the first one. The second time when we did a show at the venue, two things happened. So, well, one thing happened, yeah. Steve, as my manager, he pushed play and stop, you know, backstage. But he could see me like through tainted glass, and I could see him, but no one could see him. So what he does is he puts his hand on the CD player, and this song jumps like 4 minutes earlier. So I'm singing, and all of a sudden there's a jump. And I'm like in front of you guys, I don't know what's cracking. So Steve just goes, you know, and he tries to tell me, 4 minutes left. So then I panicked there. People didn't pick up on it. They just thought it was a really long song, like 8 minutes. And then in Cape Town, he pushes play again, and we go off. And I don't know if you've had this experience, but as a musician, I wasn't great at it. We were just singing for money for our student binges, and you know that's why we did it, just to have a bit of fun. But I forgot my words, and so I just could not for the life of me remember the song. So I just, in the middle of the song, walked off the stage, kind of 10 meters. Everyone was just watching, and the backtrack kind of went off. I went to my notes. Steve's like, "What are you doing?" And I'm like, "I forgot my words." So, but the mic's now like behind me, so not everyone can hear. So I read the words or whatever, and I walk back on, just clicking, you know, and start singing again. And no one picked it up. I mean, guys, after the show, "That was fantastic." I'm like, "Really? Fantastic." It's like, "You were awesome." I was like, "Yeah, geez, we pulled it off. We really were awesome." But kind of in the same way, I think that this text really, when you, it speaks into the situation. God is deeply concerned about what goes on backstage. You know, we can all put on a good show. We can all tell the story of life and really kind of project this front, but backstage we scrambling, we forgetting our words, songs are jumping, we just don't have it together. And I really trust and sense that God will speak into that tonight. He'll allow us to go backstage. It's often like I love a good gossip, and you read a magazine, and you know, you see our celebrities, the celebrities from Hollywood, you watch them on cinema, and you see these great films, but then you read about them in magazines, and you get the real scoop, you know. And I think that's what this text is going to do. And so I want to show you what our lives on show might look like. Look at this verse with me in verse 5. It says, there's a kind of person who can have a form of godliness but deny its power. That the love of Christ, that the living spirit, that the cross of Christ, that there's a power that hasn't gripped someone. And so there's this form, there's this veneer, there's this cover, there's this pretending, there's this production, there's this form of godliness but denies its power. It's kind of like when I've seen these kinds of guys, and even look at my own life. You know, we walk the walk. We put up a front. We say the right things. You know that kind of guy in your Bible study, kind of, "Hey guys, what does this text mean? I know. Always giving the answers. You know, kind of always got the Bible answers. you know, maybe come to church for social reasons, like good friends, and that's why I'm here, just to socialize and be with it, but I'll talk the talk, and I'll walk the walk, and I'll, you know, chat the lingo and go along with the crowd, but doesn't really own it. Has a form of godliness, but denies its power. Look at verse 7 with me. Always learning, but never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. Doesn't that make you shudder? Like, it makes me shudder in my core. Sermons, books, seminars, conferences, mentorship, discipleship, Bible studies, Bible college, MP3s, song after song, internet download after internet download, article after article. Always learning, but never actually comes to a knowledge of the truth. And so I just want to take a moment here and say, Christian, if your life is on show, if this is you, I would really love you to listen up and to say, could this be me? Where am I at? Do I have a form of godliness? Lord, am I always learning but actually never engaging the living Christ? Is our walks with God a little bit of a show? Is that why we are here? You know, when we fake it, everybody loses. And if you're not a Christian here tonight and you've engaged with this kind of person, like he just got it all together but something's not adding up and you just feel like this isn't legit, I think that this passage, God is saying, I see what you see. I'm on your side. That thing that bothers you and that Christian, it bothers me. You know, when you see a wishy-washy, half-hearted, sugar-coated, fluffy, fairy tale kind of Christianity, you know, if you're a non-Christian, I just sympathize with you tonight, and I just, together as the body of Christ, apologize. We want to be authentic. We want to engage with Christ. And so let's let the text take us backstage. Let's ask God now to take us behind the scenes, to see what our behind the scenes life should look like. What is God speaking to? And I love the Bible, but I hate it. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I love it, but I hate it. I don't know. You guys love it, but yes, you can hate it. You know what I'm saying? But I want to let the lion speak and then make a couple of like kitten-like comments, if I can do that. So what I would do in my quiet time as we work through verses 2 to 5 is I just want to write every word down. I just sit in my quiet time, write every word down and give a definition of what I think it is. Maybe a bit of research. Just think about it. And so let's do that together. Let's look at these 18 words. And just as you do your quiet time tomorrow, do the same. For this kind of person will be a lover of himself. So I wrote narcissistic. He takes selfies, or she takes selfies, you know. Kind of puts them on Facebook and I know. And only gets 80 likes. And because of that, takes it off and puts it on at a time where you'll get like way more likes, you know, because 80 is not enough. So we love selfies. We put others down for self-advancement. In our corporate environments, we just want a ladder climb. People at the workplace, they exist for us. We go to work and they're here and I want to step on their shoulders to get higher and higher in the organization. My marriage exists for me. Did you know that? Like my needs need to be met and my stomach needs to be full. Because I love myself, and number one comes first. It's my life, it's my time, it's my talents. Dave Platt says this. He says, our world is one where everything revolves around self. Protect yourself, promote yourself, take care of yourself, satisfy yourself. But Jesus says, slay yourself, deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow me, lose yourself. We are lovers of ourselves. That was the first definition. Here we go. Lovers of money. I wrote materialistic. It affects my hospitality. I hate sharing, or I'm reluctant to meet needs. I look to money for security and safety, for recognition and comfort. I take jobs solely on the basis of a package. In private, I can't give to kingdom causes because it means I can't get all those nice toys that I want. Proud. I love to draw attention to myself and to my accomplishments, to make much of me. I'm a glory getter. I look down on others. Look at the word arrogant, an inflated view of myself. Overrate my abilities. Speak as the knower of all things. Abusive. I want to verbally or physically be hurtful. I enjoy seeing others or people worse off than myself. I've got a censorious spirit. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. Disobedient to parents. I have a rebellious spirit. I hate any form of authority. I'm unteachable. Ungrateful. Assuming that I have a right to the things I get. Unholy, indifferent to the attitudes and acts that reflect the value of Jesus. I look the same as everyone. I'm not set apart. Heartless, without love, unable to sympathize or empathize. Get irritated with beggars at the robot. Unappeasable, unwilling to forgive. I make people pay. I play the recorder of our conversation over and over. I seek revenge. Slanderous. I'm devilishly distorting what others say and do. Without self-control, I'm a slave to my appetites. I repetitively go back and go back to my pet sins without seeing growth over the long term. Brutal, I'm dead to all tenderness. I'm mean and callous. Not loving good, I'm unable to see and save a moral beauty. Treacherous, I break promises for my own advantage. I constantly leak things shared in confidence. Swollen with conceit, blind to the ugliness of self-preoccupation and the beauty of admiring others, empty of glory, I'm radically insecure, I'm always comparing myself to others, I'm always measuring, I'm always wondering, how do I size up? Lovers of pleasure rather than God, I find more satisfaction in physical titillation than in God's admiration, driven by entertainment, instant gratification, orgasms, recreation, shell-collecting dreams, rather than the glory of Christ. I have the appearance of godliness, but I can deny its power. I use religion for personal gain without treasuring Christ above all. How are we doing, Rosebank? If we fake it, what is the point of being here? I mean, really, why do we gather here? I just took these definitions and assessed my life and tried to explain them. And I felt, let the lion speak. That's the God we come before. And if your response tonight is, I tick those boxes, that's me. That's really a healthy response. But if your response is, that's not me, you know, you rationalize it, you justify it, you make excuses. Look at what the verse says. Unable to come to a knowledge of the truth, or unable to acknowledge it. Unable to look in the mirror of this text and to just see it for what it is and to say, that is me. And that is what this text is doing. It wants to take us backstage. It wants to go behind the scenes where no one goes. That's what God cares about. He cares deeply about my backstage. He cares deeply about those stories and what's going on there. Repentance is agreeing with God about how he sees me. Notice how in verse 1 it says, understand this, Timothy, terrible times are coming in the last days. And that word terrible times is, it means fierce. It's what you would describe a weather storm, a season. And at different times in our culture, it can flare up and it can be tamed. And it can flare up. And if that happens in our culture, if it flares up, the culture molds the church very often. And we look and smell and taste like the culture. And very often, like Kirsten and I went to the Drakensberg the other day. And, you know, you walk in those mountains and you just suck in the fresh air. And you know what your first thought is? Johannesburg's air is not that clean. You know, that's what you think. Full of exhaust pipe fumes. And that's what this text does. It's like you suck it in and you let Christ speak to your heart and you say, maybe I don't have it all together. Maybe there are things in my backstage that the living Christ needs to deal with. And it's really interesting. Have you ever thought there, verse 5, Paul says, have nothing to do with such people. So clearly Timothy wouldn't be hanging out with me. So what does that verse mean? Because God encourages us to love and seek and look after and serve those who are far from Him. So what do you think it means? And I just think it means, if I had to rewrite the verse from all the reading that I've done, I think it means don't put this kind of person into leadership. Remember, this is a leadership letter. And you can imagine someone who loves self leading a congregation like this. The preaching might become self-centered and the worship might become self-centered and self-esteem might be the language of the day. And, I'm just here to boost your self-esteem and self-image and have no concern for the glory of Christ and the gospel of grace. And so I think that's what that verse means. It's just a side comment that I wanted to make. But now, this kind of person, let's look at how this script on stage and on show, how it might play out. You know, if behind the scenes is like that, at the end of the day, how's this going to play out? So I want to read verses 6 to 9 to you. So read with me. These people are the kind of people who worm their way into homes and gain control over gullible women, who are loaded down with sins and are swayed by all kinds of evil desires, always learning but never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. Just as Yannis and Jambres, and that was kind of in Exodus, they were magicians, and magicians would have got that nickname, although it wasn't mentioned in Exodus, and they were known for sorcery and kind of magic, but at the end of the day, in the face of the power of God and Moses' ministry, it became folly to everyone. I think that's why that's there. So also these teachers oppose the truth. They are men of depraved minds who, as far as the faith is concerned, are rejected. But they will not get very far because in the case of those men, their folly will be clear to everyone. So I just want to look at a couple of characteristics of this kind of script that might be acted out on stage. Firstly, notice how the person could be secretive. They creep or worm their way into homes. And I just, a secretive kind of life, a life that isn't open with a group of people, just to share what's going, confess your sins with someone, just kind of self-protecting and secretive because everything's at stake. You know, people can't find out about what's going on in our lives. If we don't understand the grace of God, it's not safe. And so we put on the show and we act it out. We could be manipulative. Look at verse 6. They seek to gain control. That word there is to... It's almost like an enemy at a war taking someone off and holding them captive. And so we like to manipulate. We like to gain control over gullible people. And that's the way sort of we roll. Verse 6, loaded down with sin, burdened with sin, heavy, loaded down constantly, just in a life of deep, deep sin. Not in the light, but walking in the darkness. Verse 6, swayed. These people are swayed by all kinds of desires. And you matrix, you're big now. You'll realize that on VAC, you're going to go to VAC and you're going to have your buddies and mommy and daddy are not there anymore and you can give the phone call and put on the show, but you could be swayed. If the living Christ is not in your heart, you'll make compromising decisions and you'll be swayed by all kinds of evil desires. You're two different kind of people. Here, you talk the language, yo, and you put on the show. But there, you're a different kind of animal, potentially, and on campus, and at work. And that's the kind of thing going on here. Verse 8, we think wrongly. Notice how he says, they have depraved minds. When it comes down to it, we just think wrongly about things. But at the end of the day, our folly will be evident to everyone. I just want to show you this picture. You can move to the next slide. Just love this. A counterfeit note. So imagine I'm now at the theater and I offer, honey, can I get you a chocky and something to something to drink, and all our buddies with us. Guys, I got this one. And I go to the front. Can I have 5 Castle Lights and 3 Cokes and a couple of dry lemons and give me some of those Cadburys? And she says, yeah, certainly, sir. That'll be 198 Rand. Whip out a 200. Here we go, ma'am. She puts it under the UV ray. And she says, sorry, sir, this is not real. Take it back. You can't. It's not usable. How do you think I'm going to feel? How do you think God feels when we fake it? When we are counterfeits, when we are not legit, when behind the scenes we're not letting him in to deal with our hearts? We're not, you know what I'm saying? Like, he wants to use us, he can use us, but his glory is at stake. So my heart of hearts, God deeply is concerned about what goes on backstage. We come here, we can sing songs, we can put on a good show, but we've got to get real, Rosebank. Every single one of us, before the King of Kings, has to take a look inside. And this kind of guy, as far as the faith is concerned, is rejected. The mask will come off. It's too much effort to keep the balls in the air, and time will tell. We cannot keep the act up. And I was just so challenged by this text, because here I am. I talk about joy. I talk about gentleness. I talk about servant-heartedness. I talk about the life of Christ. But you ask the people closest to me. You ask my accountability group. You ask my wife. And there are things here that I have to come before the living God and just say, Lord, I need your help. I do not want to be a show. I do not want to be up here pretending with you guys that everything's all hunky-dory. I want to grow in the grace of Christ. I want God to go backstage, or I want to be out. Game over. I just don't want to do this thing anymore. Ask the people in your life that are closest to you. I mean, really, open your heart and say, where am I? What do you see? In closing, I want to camp on this verse 25 of chapter 2 last week. Opponents must be gently instructed in the hope. Paul has a hope. I know this has been a bit deep, it's a DMC, but Paul has a hope that God will grant repentance. Notice that it says leading to a knowledge of the truth. And so you've got to ask, why is this kind of person like this? Why is there a form of godliness, but it denies its power? Why is there an always learning, but never able to acknowledge the truth? Because God decides. God has to come to us. God has to meet us again. God has to come to our backstage. And he has to tear the curtain apart. And he has to have a look. And he's got to grant repentance. God grants me the ability to repent and turn. I mean, that is so humbling, and yet there is so much hope. Paul says, I hope in this. And so tonight, guys, I want us to look to God again as a church, as a person, and say, Lord, just help me be legit. Help me be authentic. Help me just repent from these things where I've been convicted. Lead me to a genuine knowledge of the truth. I don't need another sermon. I don't need another book. I don't need another article. Christ is enough. He's enough for me. He's enough to cleanse me. He's enough to come into my backstage and to gently draw me again to him. I was reading Augustine, one of his confessions, and I just love this quote. He said, during all my years of rebellion, where was my free will to choose God? What was the hidden secret place in me from which I just spontaneously chose God in a moment, so that I bent my neck to his easy yoke? How sweet it was that all at once God rid me of those fruitless joys which I once feared to lose. You drove them from me, God. You who are the true and sovereign joy, you drove them from me and took their place. And that's our hope tonight, guys. So I just want you to remember, Let's not pretend and put on a show for one another. Let's let God go backstage. If there's a form of godliness but denies the power of the gospel of grace, of His love, of His light, of His mercy, of His joy, of His power, His spirit, of fellowship with Him, if there's just a flaky form of godliness, won't you pray with me now and just say, Lord, I want to let you in. I put on this front, but behind the scenes, I'm fearful. I'm insecure. I need you again. I need you to be real. I need you to meet with me. I need you to come backstage and be the Lord of that. Let's pray together and ask Christ to do that as the worship team comes up. Lord Jesus, our hearts are laid bare before you, and you see every motive. And our confession is that we love this world, we love self, we love money, we love pleasure rather than the living God. And I just pray that you would help us treasure you, Christ, that you would come again genuinely, Lord, in my heart, authentically. Come backstage, come behind the scenes. And help me know your grace and your forgiveness. With no excuses, Lord, I ask for your forgiveness again. Lead me to a knowledge of the truth that this, in this place, that's who you love and died for. Please, God, may we know the power of Christ again and protect us from this fake, form, phony Christianity, Lord. So that you may get glory and that people that are far from you may see the burning power of Christ again in us and be drawn to that. We ask this for your glory and in your name. Amen.